Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of And Then There's That, a bi-weekly podcast of people, politics, and punditry in Howard County on the HOCO Mojo Network. My name is Paul Scalney, and I'm here at Lakeside Cafe in Columbia Town Center with my co-host, Dennis Lane. In just a few minutes, we'll be joined by today's guest, the voice of Howard County, Dick Story, CEO of the Howard County Economic Development Authority. But as always, before we do that, we like to take a look at some hot stories making the news this week.
What you got? Well, let's see. We have, the Columbia Festival of the Arts has announced that Arlo Guthrie will be headlining this year's festival this year.
That's very progressive.
Of course, ever since I read that, Alice's Restaurant's been playing over and over again in my head.
And it's not even Thanksgiving.
It still is a tradition in our household to play that on Thanksgiving.
I'm so sorry.
Arlo Guthrie, who was last year? The Smothers Brothers. I mean, you know, eventually these guys are going to die and they're not going to have anybody to go to. I shouldn't say that, but it would be nice to see some newer talent, I guess. But
well, I guess given the problem with funding a few weeks back, I guess we should be thankful
about
anybody at all.
Arlo Guthrie's a great performer, and also they announced the dates for Lake Fest, which will be June 11th through 13th. That's actually my favorite part of the festival is the Lake Fest stuff. I think that's fun. And keeping on the music theme, we also learned this week that the Virgin Music Fest will be returning to Merriweather again this summer, and it will be free again. So for the second year in a row, the Virgin Music Fest will be free. What we don't know is who's going to be there and what date it will be. But it's coming back, so I guess that's good news.
If I could just jump out of Howard County for one second, I got struck by a story. These signs they have over Interstate 95 and on the Beltway,
right?
You know, telling you if there's a traffic an accident up ahead or slippery conditions or something like that. Well, I guess they started putting travel time messages on saying that it takes you 18 minutes to get to such and such a location.
Yep.
Governor announced on Wednesday that on WTOP, very proudly, that the state should stop displaying real-time travel information if it distracts drivers. You know, I'm concerned as a driver. We're looking at signs all the time, you know, 95 north, 95 south. You're looking at travel conditions. If you see terrorist attacks, call this number.
Amber alerts.
But if it says 18 minutes to Pikesville, we got to take it down. I feel so fortunate that government is here to protect me.
Yeah, they are. Well, of course, they're concerned about the texting and the cell phone use on the phone. So this is just kind of fits in that, you know, again, right, taking care of their constituents. So
like another act of Congress.
Political news, since you kind of opened up the can with Governor Martin O'Malley. You know, I wonder if he's recovered from his St. Patrick's Day celebrations yet. John Bailey has announced this week that John Bailey is running for the District 12B seat in the House of Delegates against the longtime incumbent, former county executive Liz Bobo. But up until this week, John was running as a Republican, and that's kind of a non-starter in District 12B, so he's now going to be a Democrat.
Well, it's mostly a non-starter in Maryland at large, but
yeah, that's true.
We do little pockets of
Greg Fox is certainly the western part of the county has stayed Republican for a while. And
I think it was a great move on his part. I think it's as long as he can keep the conservative and Republican support, I think switching parties is really going to lend itself to really being a better way to get elected.
It sure got people talking about John this week. So
any press is good press, right?
Any press is good press. And of course, the big news of this week is gracing our mailbox, and I'm sure mailbox all over Howard County this week was last week I think I got a letter saying there's going to be a letter coming to you from the Census Department in about a week. You know, okay, I got it. So that coupled with all the other media attention that this is getting, you know, you got Ken Allman doing a video saying, fill out the census form when it comes, and, you know, a national television ad campaign promoting filling out the census. Well, today my form finally arrived in our mailbox. Did you get yours yet?
I did. We haven't opened it because we can't agree on who's going to be number one and who's going to be on number two. So we're in denial.
Is it person one or person two? They go right up to, like, person 20, I think.
They do.
I mean, and some of the questions.
Like a zoning violation, have 20 people in your house.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sorry, I still don't understand why we ask the race question. You know, where you live, that's fine, but can't we finally in this country get beyond asking people what race you are?
Oh, you didn't mean like the 5K versus the 10K?
No. Okay, got it. Or the half marathon. No. I mean,
Clyde's 10K coming up.
Why does it matter what race you are?
It shouldn't.
It shouldn't. So that's kind of my pet peeve. And they spend, you know, they only give you like 10 questions on the stupid thing. And three of them, I think, deal with race or even Indian tribes. So
anyway,
that's our news. We agreed that it was a little bit light news this week. One more thing. DeRagan Manor. Now, here's my pet peeve. You had a pet peeve. DeRagan Manor is in the news because they want to build 325 homes on the property, and as opposed to doing 400 spread out all over the property, they want to concentrate these homes into a small part of the property, which seems like a reasonable approach.
It increases the amount of natural agricultural preserve.
Much better to kind of concentrate the homes and run water, public water and sewer to them. But what gets me is there's a community next to the DeRagan Farm, and I'm not sure the name of it, but the road is Burnside Drive. And Burnside Drive is a straight shot from Centennial Lane to dead ends in the DeRagan property. It doesn't dead end in a cul-de-sac now. It dead ends. It was as if the road was always meant to continue on to something that was ever developed. Is it Chateau Ridge Lake? Okay. And now the people, you know, and so when the people bought the homes there, they saw that this is a road that dead ends in a farm field. I mean, it's not a cul-de-sac. You can make the logical expression. Someday that road may be continued on. Well, now it's 20 years probably since that road was put in. It would make logical sense for that to be a second means of egress and ingress to these homes that DeRagan Manor is having, but nope, that's the third rail of this deal. Nobody wants to touch Burnside Drive and even talk about running the road through there. Even though for fire and safety it might be a better idea to have this, it boggles my mind. That's my soapbox.
That's your pet peeve for the day.
That's my pet peeve for the day.
We'd like to welcome Dick Story as our guest today. Dick, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you.
Dick's the CEO of the Howard County Economic Development Authority. And whenever we prepare for these shows with guests, we always jump on Google and try to Google the guest and try to find out a little bit of information about them. And I was shocked to find out that you're actually a federal judge in the Northern District of Georgia.
That's good. I'm waiting for the first paycheck.
I've known you to do a lot of things. This is just not one of them.
You're a judge.
Congratulations.
I've been judgmental for quite some time.
All kidding aside, Dick is really not a judge. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, there is a judge, though.
There is. Richard W. Story is a federal judge. He was confirmed by Clinton in 97 and...
Would that be a better job than Economic Development Authority?
Not in the least.
Not in the least.
This is the best job in the universe.
Now, you have been our CEO of our HCEDA for how many years now? 17 years. Wow. Up in before you, the tenure wasn't that long. I think your predecessors were you've now quite outdone your predecessors.
Well, if you go all the way back to County Executive Omar Jones having appointed Walter Henley, Walter had a pretty long run, too. Oh,
that was a good one. I don't remember Walter Henley.
See, there is a history that predates even Dennis Lane.
Okay. So
he was before Frank Collins.
Frank Collins. I do remember Frank Collins. Frank Collins actually was originally hired by the Rouse Company. And then the county stole him away to do, because I think he was promoting Columbia as a business.
He was working for Marriott and had this theme park idea. That's
Marriott's
what brought
American.
Him here.
Yes, I remember that.
But that's not what you wanted to talk about.
No. As head of the economic development, can you tell us kind of how you see your role in with government and business and how that fits into making this a better place?
How much time do we have?
What do you got, Paul?
As long as you need. It's good. It's good.
Well, the soundbite answer.
When David does this, it's over.
Yeah. Everybody saw that, that hand gesture. But I know when I'm being cut off. Normally it's words. We are
All right. Thanks for joining us, Dick.
Never hesitate around this group. We are a former department of Howard County government, privatized under the Chuck Ecker administration. And we have operated as a private sector corporation for those 17 years. But as a government contractor, we have one client, Howard County Government. So things are kind of circular in that sense that we still do everything we did before as a county department of local government, but we do it with a private sector board of directors and full participation in all what we do from the business community. Our job is to bring in jobs and tax base to the county, and that's the bottom line measure of our success. We have many other barometers, many other benchmarks, but the bottom line test is, have we created tax base for our client, the government, and jobs for its citizens? And have we worked in the increment above what is normal? Because we have an unparalleled location in the corridor between two dynamic but different cities, the growth pressures are here, and we will grow, and you need to grow. What have we done in that increment above normal that has brought in additional quality growth for jobs and tax base?
I see. You've got a great product to work with.
Yes.
Well, I was just going to say, there's a lot of talk of Howard County being insulated somewhat from the economy. Could you speak to how much you have actually felt that in your search for bringing new business into Howard County? And what is your outlook for the economy in the year to come?
Again, how much time do we have? When people ask me, how's the economy in Howard County, my standard quip is uneven. But in explaining what uneven means, there are parts of the economy, and that's to your first question, that are not immune to economic downturns, but certainly insulated, and that's the federal government side. The greater Washington region and the economic developers in it have been trying to deny the fact that they're a government town for decades. The reality is the state, the federal government is in Washington, and it generates all kinds of economic impact. And agencies that relate to them, whether they're government agencies, Department of Defense, Fort Meade, not in Howard County, is our single largest engine of growth. There are 8,000 Howard County residents who work on post at Fort Meade.
Wow.
They're our largest employer, and they're not even in Howard County.
That's amazing.
The economic impact, and most of them work at NSA, the annual economic impact of Fort Meade NSA spending on Howard County is $2.6 billion.
Wow.
That's money in motion. And that's the part of the economy that is more insulated than the three R's, residential, retail, and within that, restaurants. Those are the ones that are really hurting. Car dealers are in that retail part, and it's going to take some time for them to come back. Where we're not building as many new houses as we used to in Howard County, that food chain, that supply cycle, warehouses in Route 1 that used to warehouse plumbing supplies and shingles and drywall and steel
countertops,
studs.
I mean, right.
All those things, they've disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And what we don't know is, have they gone forever? Are those companies going out of business? Have they contracted back somewhere else? And where does that chain fill up again as the economy comes back? We are seeing today housing sales are up in Howard County. The prices are moving 95% of list price. Time on market is now below 100 days again. Now, if you're selling your house, 100 days seems like an eternity.
An eternity, sure.
And the majority of that is in the $400,000 to $700,000 range.
Or lower. Yeah. And the first-time home buyer credit is fueling a lot of that. The extension of it keeps it moving. So it's townhouses and apartments.
Okay. You know, when we say that home building has slowed down, there's still a lot of home building going on.
Oh, yeah.
In the county.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you compare our county to, let's say, Broward County in Florida, I mean, we have it pretty good here.
Yes. Yeah, and it's because of that federal component.
It's because, well, in the federal component, what you mentioned for me, what about Hopkins APL? I mean, that's a big player, too.
They're a huge player, and they employ about 4,500 people. Can't tell you how many of those are Howard County, three-quarters of whom are PhDs. So it's a very special, strange for some of us, because I know they're speaking English, but I have no idea what they're saying. But, you know, they're tracking satellites in space, and they're developing prosthetic fingers that actually feel. It's just tremendous innovation that's happening there and contributions to our society from an organization that's called Applied Physics Laboratory. But right. What they do there is just incredible.
And, of course, they're expanding like a weed. They just, they're completing a building right across the street from them now. And
they bought the old Midwest VACO facility, and that's now the South Campus. Mm-hmm. And there's, I think it's a 400,000-square-foot building going up and one plan to go right next to it.
Wow.
We've tracked APL, Applied Physics Laboratory, in the decade of the O's, if you will, 2000-2009, built 1.5 million square feet of space, either on their campus or triggered other developers to build in Montpelier.
Wow.
A lot of that is not for additional job creation. It's just modernization, elbow room, more efficiency. In 2009, they were able to tear down their World War II Quonset huts. So now they're in Class A office.
Yeah, Class A.
And probably a little more efficient than they used to be.
They're probably a little more comfortable, too, I would guess.
Dick, you mentioned 8,000 people live in Howard County that work at Fort Meade. We'll talk about BRAC a little bit later, but of those 8,000 people, are those all people that have been working at Fort Meade, or is a fraction of that already the start of what we're seeing as a result of BRAC?
That number is pre-BRAC.
Okay.
The BRAC jobs are starting. We're seeing leases being done now, mostly in Gateway, but
you just had a company that is ready to DISA that's located.
Yes, in Gateway. It's
what was that company?
They're not allowing us to say.
No kidding.
Which is part of that whole security thing. They want no publicity. They took 8,000 square feet, so they're small, with 15,000 in options to expand if that contract does well. But they've said, no, we don't want any publicity. Dick, you can't say our name. I'm sorry, Dennis.
That's great. I mean,
and, of course, for the benefit of our listeners, BRAC is the Base Realignment and Closure Program that is going to be Howard County will be a huge beneficiary of. Supposedly, anyway. I think a lot of people that are starting to wonder whether it's ever going to arrive.
And it's here. We used to say BRAC was an acronym that stood for Big Real Incoming. Now it's Big Real and Current.
Okay.
And all of the three major buildings under construction on post at Fort Meade will be done in October. Ahead of schedule. I don't know whether that's on budget or not, but it's ahead of schedule. In spite of the recent snows, they've had good construction weather for the two-year period of building those buildings. And those buildings will be occupied in October. What that means for the residential component is that we will see some keen competition for the existing housing stock in Howard County starting as early as late this spring, as those DISA and other BRAC families are positioning themselves in the marketplace to be in school in September.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They'll move during the summer, and they're kicking tires right now.
Yeah, they'll be shopping. As a matter of fact, it's anecdotal, but there was a house in our community that went on the market at $679, so it's certainly at the higher end of the market right now, and it was only on the market for like 5 days.
Yeah, we're starting to see a lot more of that.
Yeah. So the home builder's going to like that.
At those halcyon days leading up to the dot-com bubble that burst, we had houses in Howard County selling above list, all cash, no contingents.
Yeah, right.
And selling in nanoseconds. We will be approaching that phenomenon here for a year to 18 months.
Is there a concern that we don't have the housing stock to accommodate this? Or?
Well, the resales are the resales. The adequate public facilities ordinances in Howard County only require 1,850 limit, 1,850 new units. Now, that has rarely been actually achieved,
mm-hmm.
but this is going to be the test.
Oh.
And how fast can the builders build them, knowing that the wave of demand will be a big wave, a tall wave coming in. Everybody's going to want it at the same time.
Dick, I want to go back to the Economic Development Authority, which is why we have you here. You've got some exciting stuff going on at EDA. You've got the new loan program. You've got a kind of a revitalized tech council. Your incubator is doing great. I think you're exceeding expectations with respect to occupancy. Could you talk a little bit about some of those programs and their success?
All of those programs you mentioned deal with small business,
right.
Entrepreneurial business, and it's traditionally, economic development organizations would look at an Arthur Laffer kind of trickle down. Let's go after the big companies like, well, Northrop Grumman. And just by bringing them in here, the indirect and the induced jobs will be fairly significant. So bring the big ones in. They feed off help the small businesses.
And a lot of those are federal subcontractors.
Many. But what we have said is in Howard County, we really want to have a primary focus on small businesses and existing businesses. We want to, if 93% of the businesses in Howard County have 50 or fewer employees, and that's a real number, and 70% of the businesses in Howard County have 10 or fewer employees, then that's our growth. That's our diversity. If somebody with 10 employees adds a job, that's 10% growth. That's diversity. That's stability. We all want to hit the home run. We want to bring the intergalactic headquarters into Howard County, but we also want to focus on the ones that are here. Retention is easier than new business attraction because few people are trying to take my business away from Howard County.
Sure.
They do poach from time to time, but Howard County is not a place that companies want to leave necessarily.
Well, we've traditionally grown business. I mean, I've always said that I think that somebody came up with the statistic says that Fort Meade has the highest concentration of mathematicians in the world. And you mentioned the statistics with Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Lab. A lot of these guys leave the government and leave Johns Hopkins and go off and start business of their own.
Exactly.
And that's exactly. That's helped grow, home grow. We've got homegrown.
Yeah, and everybody's got an idea that I can do it bigger than this institution that I work for. So I'm going to spin out, quit my day job, mortgage the home, or second mortgage the home.
Second mortgage. And, max out the credit cards.
Yeah, and lose all their friends. Yeah. And now it's time to look for money. But it's the American dream, and entrepreneurialism is rampant in Howard County.
And that's the incubator, your Neotech incubator kind of speaks to that. Have there been some great success stories coming out of that?
Yes. Our biggest success story was a company called Dragon that we called one of our anchor tenants because they were issuing contracts to other tenants in there.
Wow.
They were sold 2 years ago to a defense contractor for $32 million.
Wow.
That's the perfect exit strategy for that company.
Sure.
We think that was the largest purchase of an existing incubator company ever in this country.
Wow.
Because CACI is a defense contractor, they won't tell us that. We had to dig to find that number.
Mm-hmm.
But it is significant. That's a lot of money. And the executives who cashed out, stayed with CACI for a certain period of time, they're off inventing more stuff again. But that's successful. We've had companies that are merged. We've had companies that have crashed and burned. But we need to create a culture in Howard County, and we're working in that direction, where failure is acceptable. That you try this venture, and it worked. Or you try this venture, and it didn't work. But I learned through that process, and I'm going to try something else again. You saw that in Silicon Valley in California.
Mm-hmm.
And other places where entrepreneurism is a cultural thing. We want to try to generate that in Howard County, not to promote failure, but to promote the effort. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got an idea, and the infrastructure is here to support that idea and commercialize it and live long and prosper or cash out.
In my day job, I've got the good fortune of representing a lot of small businesses of a very diverse background. I think a lot of the programs that are in place right now coming out of the EDA are oriented towards technology companies. I've got a lot of clients right now that they're struggling, looking for how to make it. You know, there's been talk at the federal level about small business stimulus packages, yet I think most of my clients are yet to see any real success out of that. You're hearing it on the state level. You hear the desire on the local level. What do you say to these small businesses that are really struggling? And there's really no specific discipline. It's retail, it's technology, it's service-based. It kind of cuts across the board.
What we can say is that the new program that you mentioned earlier, the Catalyst Loan Program, is not just for technology companies. We could do a beauty salon, anything that is a startup business.
Dennis, there's hope for you yet.
And that's the key. You have to be a startup, and you have to be bankable. We would add on to it's been a long time, Brad.
Just one of many.
We can add to a bank loan that maybe is a little uncomfortable for the loan committee of the bank or the lender to take as is. And we can blend in some lower interest rate money that could pay for the equity piece. It could be working capital. It could be contract financing. But we would come in at $50,000 or $100,000 at 2%. Be in and out in a couple of years and make a difference. And that's why we call it a Catalyst Loan Program. It's not just for technology companies.
And you've had a lot of interest in that already.
We've done two deals. It's new. We've done two at $50,000, and we have about four in the pipeline now that are being underwritten. And we don't pay for the underwriting. We cooperate with the banks and say, if you're comfortable, show us the numbers. And that saves some money. So we don't do a standalone deal. We can, but we're not looking at a standalone loan.
You know, we talked a lot about the technology companies and the more established businesses, but what I think a lot of people don't realize is you also have a role with the agricultural
Yes.
side of the county.
We have a program, and quite frankly, when Chuck Ecker said, Dick, I want you to form a Future of Agriculture in Howard County Committee, I said, Chuck,
there is no future.
I said, I can see these dominoes
develop
falling.
Develop your property.
Those dominoes are falling and are going to land right on me because I'm going to say there is a future for agriculture in Howard County. It is certainly our heritage. And agriculture done as a smart entrepreneurial kind of business, you want to balance the cyclical swing of weather and markets, locusts, whatever.
Locusts, yes.
They're a problem every 17 years.
Every 17 years, unless somebody puts a plague on us.
So why don't you spend $250,000 for greenhouses where you can control the climate with local markets, whether you're growing vegetables or flowers for Easter, for Christmas, and you can actually rotate four crops, control the weather, and have a local market. And we're actually, you can tell, never diagram one of my sentences. We're working on the Buy Local program for Howard County restaurants using Howard County produce.
Is that boutique farming? Is that what that is?
I guess you
how
could
do you say that
it.
Word again?
Boutique. we're not promoting bok choy and emus, but we're talking agriculture. We're talking about farmers markets, and now we'll open in May, we'll open four farmers markets where we closed in October with three. So as we get more farmers growing vegetables and spending the time necessary to vend their vegetables at a farmer's market,
well, you know, that's
catching on.
That's interesting because down in Ellicott City, they got this thing called the Second Sunday Market. Now, they're going to be cranking that up again in April, where the second Sunday of every month, they kind of have a farmer's market, not sort of thing. But the farmers coming into that farmer's market are from northern Baltimore. They're from Harford County.
And our requirement in the Howard County farmer's markets is it's local produce, no bananas, no pineapples, no birdhouses. This is local produce.
No birdhouses?
Grown in Howard County. No birdhouses.
No chicken houses.
I've never seen birdhouses grown on a field.
But that's an Eastern Shore phenomenon. But we want to promote Howard County farming as a business practice and help the farmers in Howard County be more successful.
Wow. Dick, we're going to wrap up, but one thing I meant to ask you about, we talked about BRAC, but there's some word out there that bigger than BRAC is this whole cyber command thing. Can you kind of close us up and talk a little bit to that and address that? I understand it still is being held up in Congress. Is that correct?
There are other legislation right now in front of it, but we need to have confirmation of the three, soon-to-be four-star general who would command this initiative. And that's a congressional confirmation. We're pretty sure it will happen. We're reasonably sure that when it happens, it will be based at Fort Meade, and it will dwarf BRAC. If BRAC, our BRAC task force has estimated, will create 22,000 new jobs, direct, indirect, and induced, that cyber would bring that number to 65,000 in the Carter, not just Howard County, not just the new revitalized, new and improved downtown Columbia, but throughout the region, those jobs can be created.
I see a new housing bubble forming.
Well, you know, and I think the bottom line is, whether you like it or not, growth is coming.
Yes,
growth is coming.
And we're in the path of it.
Yeah, we're right smack dab in the middle of it.
Dick, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Good to be with you.
Did a great job, and you didn't talk too much.
Couldn't get a word in edgewise.
You did great. Thank you very much
for coming
here.
By. Yeah. Hi, what's your name?
Mona Ferguson.
Hi, Mona. The question today is, did you get your census form in the mail today?
No, I actually got it yesterday.
Have you filled it out yet?
Yes, I have.
You did. Were you person number one or person number two?
Person number one.
Is there a person number two in your household?
Yeah, my children.
So there was no discussion about who was person number one.
Exactly.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
And what's your name?
Sharon Baker.
Hi, Sharon. How are you? Did you get your census in the mail yet?
Nope, not yet.
Didn't. Okay.
Are you letter saying it's coming?
No. Haven't seen that yet.
Hers isn't coming. She's very lucky.
They don't care what I think.
You're probably better off that way. Well, good luck filling that out.
Hi, what's your name?
David.
David. Census. Did you get your census form in the mail yet?
Yes, I did.
Have you filled it out?
Not yet.
Not yet. Are you going to?
Yes, it's in my to-do pile.
And you know what? There's a question on there that says, as of April 1st, will you wait till April 1st to fill it out?
No, I'll do it probably at the end of the month, the 30th maybe.
I always love that. As of April 1st, who's in your household? Thank you. Hi, what's your name?
Erica.
Hi, Erica. Census form?
No.
Because it would come to your parents?
Correct. My father, yeah.
Are you in college?
Yes.
Okay, and you live on campus?
Yes.
Okay. So you're actually going to have the benefit of not having to count your daughter because she doesn't count. So... does she get her own?
No, there's a question on the form, actually, in the instructions. It says, if you live at college, then you can't count her.
Okay.
But at the end, there's a question that says, to the person filling out the form, are you living at college?
So does that mean I still have to pay for her education in the college if she doesn't count anymore?
No, I think that's covered on the new health care plan.
Okay.
Thanks. You guys have a nice weekend.
Hi, what's your name?
Eileen.
Hi, Eileen. Did you get a census form in the mail yet?
Yes.
Have you filled it out?
Yes.
Wow. Did you fill it out right away?
Right away. And I mailed it yesterday.
And you mailed it yesterday. Well, Ken Allman is going to be very happy with you. Do you live alone?
Yes.
So there was no question in your house who was person number one or person number two?
No. I just had person number one.
Just person number one.
And your name?
Helen.
Helen, did you get your census form?
And it's finished in mail.
Were you the only one in your home?
No, my husband and I.
Who was person number one?
My husband.
Was there any discussion about that?
No. They're supposed to be number one.
Oh, exactly.
I'm sure there's some people that would disagree with you on that.
Exactly.
That about wraps up another episode of Then There's That. On behalf of myself and my co-host, Paul Scalney, we'd like to once again thank Michael and Min So for allowing us to commandeer this corner of their Lakeside Cafe in Columbia Town Center on a sunny Friday afternoon for this podcast. We'll be back again on April 2nd with special guest Stacy Hunt, President and CEO of Leadership Howard County. We hope you'll join us.